The Gwyneth Paltrow dinner story got considerable traction this week, and on the surface it looks like celebrity gossip. She was planning a Hamptons dinner for OpenAI's Sam Altman. Backlash ensued on social media, dinner postponed. But there's a real cultural current running underneath the surface noise.
The backlash is about something specific. Altman's public profile has shifted significantly over the past year. He's moved from the role of responsible AI developer, the guy who testified to Congress, who talked openly about AI risks, toward something closer to tech establishment figure in a period when OpenAI's corporate moves have been controversial. The Paltrow dinner framing, with its Hamptons setting and celebrity circuit optics, landed for critics as a symbol of AI power becoming social power.
It's worth noting that Altman has navigated some genuinely turbulent moments. The November 2023 board removal and reinstatement, the subsequent restructuring debates, the competition with Anthropic, Google, and now SpaceX entering the space through Cursor. The social backlash to the Paltrow dinner is partly about AI skepticism and partly about a broader discomfort with a small number of individuals accumulating enormous technological leverage.
There's also something almost poetic about the timing. The same week research drops showing AI is creating a divide between AI-capable and AI-excluded workers. You have the face of AI being celebrated at a Hamptons dinner. The optics don't help the argument that AI development is being managed with broad public interest in mind.
Now, before we close out the episode, I want to do our "what if we're wrong" exercise because I think today's news presents a genuinely important case for epistemic humility. The claim I want to examine is the one we've all been most confident about regarding Iran, that the combination of U.S. military pressure and severe economic sanctions will eventually force Tehran towards some form of negotiation or political concession. That's the prevailing Western strategic assumption underlying the current conflict.
And it does have supporting evidence. The 35% trade drop, the inflation, the VP's candid comment about enrichment costs, those all point toward a leadership under genuine strain. The case for the conventional wisdom isn't empty.
But here's the strongest counterargument. Iranian sanctions endurance has a 45-year track record. The Islamic Republic survived the Iran-Iraq War, which killed hundreds of thousands of people and devastated the economy. It survived the 2012 oil embargo. It survived 2018 maximum pressure. The system's survival mechanism isn't prosperity. It's the ability to frame external pressure as external aggression, which actually strengthens internal cohesion rather than weakening it. The hardliner commander promotions are consistent with a system that responds to pressure by doubling down, not by conceding.
The assumption we might be getting wrong is that economic pain translates into political change on a Western timeline. In Iran's particular institutional structure, the Revolutionary Guards have their own economic networks that are partly insulated from formal trade channels. The middle class bears the pain of inflation and trade collapse first. The hardline military and security apparatus, the people whose opinions actually determine policy, may be cushioned enough that they don't feel the same urgency.
There's also a question about what negotiation would even mean at this stage. 6 months into an active war, the political cost for any Iranian leader of being seen to concede to American pressure is extraordinarily high. Even officials who privately think the enrichment decision was wrong, like the VP, can't publicly advocate for what would look like surrender. The war may have actually reduced the space for negotiated outcomes by making concession politically toxic.
So what would we watch for to know if we're wrong about the pressure leads to negotiation thesis? A few concrete signals. If back-channel diplomatic contacts emerge through neutral intermediaries, Switzerland, Oman, Qatar, that's evidence the pressure is working. If instead Iran escalates its regional proxy activity, targeting U.S. assets in Iraq or Syria, that's evidence the hardliners have consolidated and are responding with counter-escalation. And if China or Russia meaningfully increases its trade with Iran, substituting for the 35% drop, that would undercut the economic pressure mechanism entirely.
We'll be watching those three indicators specifically. The honest answer is that 6 months in, we're still early enough that the trajectory isn't determined. But the confident prediction that economic pain straightforwardly produces diplomatic movement deserves more skepticism than it's getting in most Western analysis.